What's going on, everyone, and welcome to C-List Villains Podcast, your cultivators of the comic culture. I'm your host tonight, E-Man, along with my boy Red. Red, what's going on, my friend?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show.
And tonight, joined by cover artist extraordinaire. Let me show you some of this. Let's see if we can show. So, cover artist extraordinaire. You know him from works like Ice Cream Man number 24.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know his.
Looks like a titan.
His elusive Banksy department number nine, Department of Truth number nine, the Banksy homage, and of course.
Oh, it's such high demand.
That's a beautiful one right there. And of course, you guys know him. Everyone should know him from our very own Luke Weeks, RKFA Comics exclusive of Bunny Mask number one, joined here today. Our new friend, Chin Potter. What's going on, Chin?
What's up, everybody?
It's too bad.
It's good. It's good.
They misspelled the RKFA on the back of the book.
Yeah. They did. It's like RFKA. We're like, bruh, like, what? Why didn't you ask? But here you go. Look, if you think about it, it's a misprint. So it should be.
Oh, there you go.
It should.
Tell you something, guys. This went up $100 on eBay. Go get it.
Go get it. It's for $100 on. It is. It's technically a misprint. We can go ahead and verify that here on the show.
There's a version and the regular cover right there and the black and white.
Yeah,
the black and white. Yeah, black and white's the most sought after. I think I don't even own any more of those. I know that for sure. People keep asking if I have any more. I was like, no, I don't have any of those. Those sold out in like the first con I brought them to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's dope, man. So you were able to sell it out yourself, too, and get that.
Yeah, I have, like, I occasionally go on eBay and see if I can buy, like, bulk of my own books so I can have them available to customers and, fans and stuff. But sometimes, I'm too poor to buy my own stuff. So
I think Luke still has a stack. I can confirm when I see him for Rose City. But I know
there's no more stacks. They're sold out. That's why they're sold out.
There's that damage stack that's supposed to be there.
There's
the overage stack.
There's some damaged ones on the side. It might have some.
Not damaged, but
nice.
So what's going on, Chin, man? So how's the week for you, man?
It's good. It's good. Yeah, you work the day job. Then I'm also working on some cover artwork coming out in a few months. I can't discuss, obviously, NDAs and stuff. Working on my own book. Runway number one's already out. You could probably pick that up directly from me. But Runway two, I'm currently working on myself.
So we're definitely going to get into Rimwick. I got questions about that, and they're simple questions. I really, really want to know a little bit more about this right here. What about you, Red? How's the week been treating you?
Oh, man, I had to draw a couple more houses today in a multifamily complex. A bunch of people asking for more fucking blueprints. So, yeah, it's been a busy day. Otherwise, I want to go kick some ass.
I just realized I'm on the panel with two amazing artists. We got one that draws cool stuff, and then there's Red. Like, he draws houses, though. He draws houses.
Hey, if it pays, it's a worthwhile endeavor, sir.
Exactly. Okay. Well, I guess that's totally worth it. So we're going to highlight Chin, because Chin is our guest of honor tonight. We're going to be talking with Chin, and we're going to interview him. We're going to get to know him a little bit better because we got questions. I got a lot of questions. What's the day job, man? What do you do during the day?
Day job, I work at a comic book shop. Technically, it's two shops in one location called Collector's Choice Comics and Justice Comics, located in Tempe, Arizona. Like, you know, the old stuff and the new stuff and blend into one location. I'm there to, handle everything, the day-to-day operation. So if you want to talk shop and stuff, you can come in and talk to me about comic books. I will rattle off a bunch of information because I read literally everything that comes out every week.
I was going to say, just backstage, you were like, I read everything. I'm like, you really read everything? It sounds like you really read everything.
This reading is fundamental, E-Man.
that's his thing. He loves that. So quick, then let me ask you this thing. Quick review, non-spoiler, quick review.
Yeah.
Was it Void Rivals?
Void Rivals. I love that book. I read it today when I was processing the books.
Uh-huh.
It's the art's fantastic. The story is different from any other, Transformy kind of stuff, space stuff that's involved.
space vehicles turning into something else stuff, right?
Yes, it's a fantastic book. I don't think it's for all ages quite yet. I think it's pretty close though, but art's fantastic. The writing's good. I'm all aboard for it, so I'm definitely gonna pick up a copy and see what issue 2 brings to it.
I'm only asking because I bought a few copies today. I'm not gonna lie, it's it was the nice. Total FOMO pick of the week. Not even gonna lie, it's like everyone's talking about it, and then there was like talks. There was talks from everyone that from people in the community, like, oh, it's low print. Oh my gosh, you should go get it. There was 100,000 copies of it. It's not low print. Sons of bitches. Like, I didn't know that until I made my order.
Nice, nice.
It's like, let me just jump on it. Let me see what's going on. Well, Chit, let's get to know you a little bit better, man.
Yeah,
so,
man.
So I know you're from Kansas. You were born in Kansas, and then you went to Tempe. Tell me about the schooling. I know, like, you had some formal schooling in the arts. Tell me about that. Where did you get your training from?
Well, first, I'm self-taught for the most part because I grew up extremely poor in, like, a little town that had, like, no comic book shop. Well, technically, I had a comic book shop, but not much in it. But, you know, watched cartoons, drew everything I saw, and picked up, like, tips in here and there, then eventually went to college, trained as a graphic designer, but I took literally every art class they could so I can like build like my whole schedule because you can't, you know, get your financial aid without having a full schedule. So I had all the art classes. So I trained also as a fine painter, watercolor paint illustrator. So I have that in my background. So you don't see a lot of me do a lot of watercoloring, but I can do that. So I did get my degree in graphic design. Then I minored in advertising. So it's all that.
And then working in the comic book shop. See, like, this is perfect. Like if you know, if you can just put your piece exactly where it should go, being in the comic book shop is almost perfect if you think about it. Like, this is almost, you're almost there, right?
It's almost there. I think the biggest upside of working in any shop that, you know, caters to, you know, I guess your fan base is the networking. So I can tell people, hey, have you checked out my book? Have you checked out, you know, my covers I worked on? Of course, you can sell people on that and get commissions and stuff like that.
Nice.
Now, are you nice. Owner of this shop too, or you just?
No. But, you know, if someone says you're the owner of the shop, I was like, okay, I don't correct them.
If they go up to you and they say it quite assertively, like, you're the owner of the shop, what can I do you for, sir? How can I help you out? So before just want to say what's up to the chat real fast. Slumboards is in the house. Our girl Katie, K-pop junkie. Oh, yeah, let's go. She just wants to say something right quick to you, you know. Someone, no, not this one. What's up, sicko, she says.
Yeah.
James is in the house. What's going on, everyone? Thanks for showing up. How often does Billy go there and harass you? That's a great question.
I don't know who Billy is, but he must be cool.
Billy Dayton of Economics and Comics, of the YouTuber. He doesn't come out to the shop that often anymore because he's busy doing his own thing. But I remember we used to do a lot of live drawing and stuff, like on auctions and stuff for him. Like, I'd do really fast sketches in like 30 minutes for people.
And, you know, that's something that that Red asked me to do for you. I was like, you know what, let's get to know Chin first. And hopefully in the future, maybe we can ask Chin to come by.
But it was from Luke, but just playing telephone, okay? Lucas asked if you would do a live sketch in the middle of our interview. But since Luke is not here.
Oh, yeah, I could. Like, because I'm on a rotating, like, little stand rotates. I could just point it all the way down and put a piece of paper there. Do that.
Are we gonna do that? And then, you know what? Is that okay? Could we give it out to the chat? Would that be okay if we have?
Yes, chat? We could give it out to the chat. I can mail it to you guys, and you can give it out to whoever you like.
Look at this, man! Just like that, closed mouth don't get fed. Red ass and Chin is about to deliver a quick little sketch.
Just draw a penis.
That okay, Red? Please, for the love.
Let me look up the reference.
Hold on, I've heard of these things. Let me look this up right quick.
What do these look like? Hot dogs, right? Hot dogs.
All the best.
How many foods are shaped like dicks?
All the best foods are shaped like dicks.
Oh, all the best kind.
Yeah, all the best kind. So, and I just want you to know that I was trying to do my research on you. So I went ahead and found something. And you once said on a stream, the road to a dream is not easy in the slightest, especially if it involves the arts. Could you break down that journey, what that journey truly entails to someone who actually wants to pursue a career in the arts?
Yeah, because for the most part, you know, anybody can draw. Like, skill base, like, without skill base, anybody can draw, right? But it's the fact that if you can be good enough, or, you know, sell yourself good enough to make something from it, and then you got to actually have the drive to keep drawing, because, like, you know, you could draw, you know, whenever or whatever you want, but you got to want to do it, because sometimes I don't want to draw at all. There's some weeks I don't draw at all. Like, I don't even want to touch a pencil. But if the paycheck's coming through, someone's paying me, I even have to draw when I don't want to draw. So that's part of it. It's the consistency. With anything, even it's literally anything, not just drawings, like, it's the consistent output of work. Like, even if I want to get 6-pack abs, I'm sure I have to go to the gym constantly. So that's constant work. Even as an artist, you got to put that consistent, constant work in. And being in the arts, no one expects you to make money as an artist. Like, literally, like, what's the first thing your parents say? Can you make money from that?
Yeah.
Can you make money from that?
Exactly. Literally, the first thing.
Like, a lot of the older famous artists got famous after they died as well.
Right? Yeah, a lot of it. So if you make money while you're alive, fantastic. If you're paying your bills and getting by, see, that's good. That's cool.
That's cool.
But if you could... If you could buy a house, even better.
Yeah, I'm trying to send this this out to a few people. So just wondering, man, like, that's cool. You're gonna sketch something. So now my question really is, like, what would you be sketching? Like, or are we gonna keep it like secret for, you know?
No, you can watch me sketch. I just gotta grab my tools and stuff. But that's later. It'll just be like probably do a headshot, you know. I don't want to do like a side profile, like cheapo, like any artist does that. Like, no offense to cons, like side profile, like side profiles.
K-pop, but, yeah, she just wants to make sure that it's all about the angle of the dangle. That's all she can ask for right now with regards to this right here. Okay,
I can't guarantee the angle or the dangle.
look, let's not put any pressure on Chin. This is kind of like a last minute thing.
You just semi-flaccid.
You know, it happens to every dude, okay? It happens to everybody.
I don't know what happened. I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened. I'm so sorry.
I gotta go see a doctor.
Like a wind
Shut up, Brett. Stop. you're scaring the straights, okay? Stop. Oh, look, Jeff McCain in the house. Our boy, he's in Arizona himself, too. What's going on, Jeff? Thanks for coming by, my friend. Let's get into your art real fast, man. Now, there is a certain elusiveness that world-renowned street artist Banksy is known for. And it seems that one of your pieces is just as hard to find. That's that Department of Truth number 9, the Banksy homage with the lady in red and the words "Make War." How did that piece come about? I heard the story, but I know not everyone knows about it. I found it intriguing how you were referencing the blood that was on the wall. But, like, how did that come about?
Well, how long was it? It was pre-COVID, so I got to remember, like, how many years ago, because COVID's like a black hole of time. So it's pre-COVID, so I'm going to say, what, 5 years ago?
Pre-COVID, about 3-4 years ago.
So yeah, it's about five years ago, I think. So, so about 5 years ago, pretty much the war in Syria was going on, and I was watching a lot of the refugee stuff that was going on there. And they're saying the stats about 60% of all casualties were children. So I had a dream. this piece came to mind because a lot of Banksy's work is political. And a lot of his work is very controversial and very eye-opening. Even if I didn't make my stuff as blatant as his stuff, but I did want to make a statement with the piece. I reached out to Kevin over at Collector's Choice and see if he wanted to take on the piece as my very like on True Our Truth, and he did fantastic. But the whole concept is around the fact that they, like, if you look closer, there's like little crayon drawings and there's like little messages in there, little stick figures, and the handprints are actually smaller than adults. So it's actually like blood of children, surprisingly. And there's bullet holes all over the wall. If you look closely, there's bullet holes all over the wall. Smearing in the dark blood and bright red blood mean there's older blood and newer blood. The fact that the blood actually doesn't stay within the confines of the dress itself. It's actually around it. So that means the blood was there prior to the stencil. So it's like someone came around, or let's say Banksy or whoever, or the Starman, Starface came around and put the stencil over the blood after the fact.
That's so captivating right there, because like at first, like when people see like, oh, it's a Banksy, you know, oh, it's, you know, oh, he's trying to homage Banksy. That's just the cool thing. But hearing the story was really interesting, that you had like a real, it almost felt like you had a real connection to what was happening. Syria. Kosovo was like not even around. What am I talking about? But
that story gave the piece more depth, really, because we wouldn't even guess that at the handprints as kids, as the kids' handprints.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's what they're slightly smaller than full size. So if, like, there's one handprint that's slightly smeary, but it's larger. So it's like you got to dig around a little bit. And the bottom right, you see the little crayon drawings and the little bullet holes. There used to be like a little sticker, like a piece sticker, but I took that out. It was like at the very bottom, but I covered it up with like some rocks and stuff.
Oh.
This is such a beautiful piece, like no joke. I personally was trying to get it myself, and you know, just the stars didn't align, man. So I had to see what happens. You know, I'm probably gonna eBay it eventually. You know, I really want that one. I definitely want that one right there in my collection one of these days. Jeff Crozier says, thanks, Jeff, for getting my Banksy triple sign, because apparently our boy Jeff McCain tells us that you and him are somewhat neighbors, so you guys are from the same area. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, literally around the corner. So,
you really do know Jeff. Like,
yeah, he's like blocks away.
That's
dumb. Oh, so he's not actually just walking down the street, like going look through a bathroom window, right?
If he wants to go on the second floor, sure. If he's that desperate, sure.
Is it desperate or determined? Ooh.
Maybe a little bit of both.
The things written on the walls, what got James, man. That's crazy. Yeah, it's a fantastic, fantastic piece for sure. I want to hear, I don't know if like you remember, but like, could you talk to us about the Bunny Mask cover also? Because that's what you did for our Luke Weeks. This one right here, Bunny Mask number one, when it first came out, a lot of people weren't really sure what was going to happen with this book, and it ended up being people who read it, they actually enjoyed it. I really enjoyed Bunny Mask myself. Tell me how this came about. I know Luke was showing us the piece as like it was being drawn, so I know we had some behind the scenes stuff, but do you remember like what was going through your head with this one right here?
Yeah, so I was like looking for some creepy visual aspects, like just horror related stuff. You know, that's because that's what I draw. Because the logo is actually blocking like a dead body that's on the sidewalk, but you know, that's right.
Yeah.
So I was like, what's creepy? And I was like, well, nothing's creepier than someone staring into your ring camera on your door, just staring at it. And not doing anything and leaving. That's pretty creepy. So if you notice, it's actually like from the angle of like a camera by your door. So it's a little
That eyeglass kind of look to it.
Yeah, it has a fisheye lens to it. I tried to have that aspect of it. That's why her head's kind of larger than the rest of her body. And it gets a little smaller around her. And try to make her cute, but not too cute, you know?
That was her Instagram. That was her IG pose. That was her, hey.
That's MySpace days.
Friendster.
Oh, my God. Top eight, baby.
I mean, it looks has some kind of Japanese inspired as well from all the manga kind of characters.
Yeah.
All the little cute chibi characters with the bunny ears and such.
Yeah, she didn't have claws before. She also didn't have hair before. It was actually a different kind of mask I had on her. Because I did put I had this my art book done, right? This art book done. I did put the blue lines in here so people could see like what I started with. I'll show you here too.
Oh, see, yeah. That's what he showed us.
Yeah, so I put that in there and I was like, it's missing stuff, you know? It's too cute, you know, and I don't like too cute stuff.
So you had to horrify it. No, she's too cute. Need to make this a little bit more
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's too bad that Aftershock just stopped really promoting their books, though.
Yeah, I don't understand that. You have some of the best titles. Don't they put out what's that mass? It's New York. The New York Massacre guy.
Maniac of New York, something like that.
Maniac New York. Yeah.
Yeah, that was drawn. That was drawn by the same artist too for Bunny Mask. Yeah. And for Maniac in New York was Andrea Moody, which we've had on the C-List Villains podcast. Also, go back and find that interview. It was really nice.
that's a fantastic book, and I wanted to do a cover for that, but you know stars didn't line on that.
Tell us about the someone's asking about that. So you have a Red Room cover, yeah.
Yeah, I did a Red Room. I think it's issue 4. I think it's issue 4. And it is for a UK distributor. Sorry, I work with so many exclusive guys. I'm like, I can't remember everybody's name. So bad. So bad.
He's so sought after. This is world famous. Literally world famous Chin Potter. He's got work here and in the UK, you guys. Look at that.
I'm not sought after. It's just I have a bad memory. it's from a UK distributor, and it's literally one of my favorite covers I ever worked on because I had like almost full complete creative freedom reign on that.
Oh, nice.
Because I could do all the colors, detail, whatever I wanted on it, and it came out fantastic. It's still one of my more popular covers. I just recently ran out Phoenix Fan Fusion. I sold my very last copy. I don't have anymore. And it's like I said, it's like literally my favorite cover I ever worked on because I got to do, you know, weird, crazy, gore stuff. So
yeah, so I don't get too cringy with comics. Like, you know, not much gets me like all. I read that first issue of Red Room and I was like, I couldn't get past the first issue. It's very. What's that? Not smut. Is it smut? Is that the term?
It's torture porn. It's torture porn. It's like the underbelly of like, you know, the dark web craziness. Yeah.
It reminded me of that movie. It reminded me of that movie 8mm.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It totally reminded me of that movie 8mm with I think it was Nicolas Cage, and that's a fantastic movie. I absolutely enjoy that movie, but. I can only watch that maybe like once every few years just because of how heavy it is. And that book reminded me of 8mm. I was like, all right, I see what's going on here. I'm probably going to pass up on it. Not saying that it's a bad read. It's just not for me. But I see the appeal and I hope that people who continue this on will be able to provide this, you know, creator, you know, enough leverage so that way he can keep creating these. I was never against Red Room. But like I said, it was just something that just was not for me.
Well, this is a book out there for everybody. So I tell people that, like, there's a book out for everybody. No matter how, you know, strict or loose you are with your morals, there's a book out there for everybody. Yeah.
And then Rip went ahead and brought up your page right here, right? Is this his page, Red?
Oh, this is one of them. That's Clutch Choice Comics. They have a little section for me because I do, you know, I did a lot of work with them.
You like that? See, look at that. World renowned. You have your own page on somebody else's.
I was looking for the Red Room cover, but this one popped up first. Like, I'll also just share it.
Yeah.
I didn't know you did Noctera. That Noctera one looks super dope.
I did two covers for Noctera. I did one with them and another one with, I think, Modern Era. I did this one. I didn't do the colors on this one. This is the only one I outsourced the colors on, because I was like, I didn't want to do the colors on it. But I did another one for the Blacktop Cassidy special, where I did everything. And that was like a C. Quivera Obey kind of thing I did on that one, because that's what people wanted.
So going back to the Banksy homage, you have, what, three of them? Is that correct?
Thanks. There's
because it feels like it's like a series that you're working on.
Yeah. So I did 1, 2, 3, 3 or 4. Yeah. There's that one, and there's another one before that one. I think it's on Department of Truth 12, some one of them. And it's that one sold out. That was through Sin City, Sin City Comics, Cincinnati Comics, whatever I think it's called. That one's kind of hard to come by because something with the shop was not going on properly. But they did a Banksy, and that one's pretty much sold out as well because I can't get a hold of any copies of that one.
Yeah, it just seems like your Banksy pieces are the ones that are the hardest ones to find, and those are actually super dope. So let's switch it up just a little bit here. I'm a little bit of a foodie myself, Chin. Living out here in the Bay Area,
you enjoy a lot of food.
Right there, baby, right there. And living out in Arizona, you're right in the middle of the desert. I need to know something right here. You said in an interview that I read that any town, any friends visiting from out of town, you would bring them to this one restaurant. And I just want to know why would you bring someone who's visiting this desert? Why would you bring them to eat pho at Pho Tuan Tan in Arizona? Why would you bring someone into the heat to make them eat something hot like pho?
Well, you know, it's like a sauna. Like you just like this.
Helps with the pores, right?
Helps with the pores, but it's so good that it's one of like the best pho places I've ever been to. Given like I've eaten pho out of like old, and this is up there with that. It's fantastic.
Now you told me that you're half Vietnamese, right?
Correct.
What is the secret to a good pho?
That would be the broth. The broth is like the best thing. Because as long as you can cook it for, normally it's about 8 to 12 hours, preferably like 12 hours. The broth is everything. If you don't get a good broth, you really just have wet noodles.
So. Now, are you more of the meat kind of a guy, or are you the seafood kind of a guy?
I'm the meat guy. It's all about the the steak for me. So
now, do you do the raw steak or do you do like the cooked brisket?
Oh, I do the raw steak because the broth's so hot, it'll cook itself. So
I had a friend. What she ended up doing was she would actually get the raw meat, the raw pho, or the raw meat for the pho, right? And she would put a basil leaf in the middle. Then she would put the actual lime right on the meat. And then she'll throw in some hoisin. She'll dip it in the soup and then she'll wait for it. And she'll let the soup cook for a little bit and then she'll eat it. Is this a correct or not correct way to eat?
Is it a correct way? I've never seen it done.
Uh-huh.
But is it incorrect? She's eating it.
Yeah, but it seems like it's hot pot style.
It felt very much like a hot pot kind of thing. Yeah, it felt very hot pot-ish.
Yeah, because if you eat too much of the broth, you're going to fill up too much on the stuff that you really don't need. But yeah, if you want to eat it.
Yeah, definitely. The pho gets really bad if the broth gets cold. They should correct. Serve it on a hot plate and keep the broth hot, or have like an electric bowl or something just to keep it warm.
See, I'm taught to eat pho like fast for some reason. I don't know why. Like pho and Vietnamese soups in general, for some reason, that's the only soup where I'm taught like I need to eat it fast because it stays hot the whole way. I guess that just makes sense with all soups, right? But like even with my ramen, when I eat ramen, I just kind of go at like a cool pace. But with pho, no matter how big the bowl is, whether it's extra large or extra, extra large, because let's be honest, there's no such thing as a real medium when it comes down to foot. Those bowls are fucking big. So whenever I get,
you're not meant to eat all that broth, because it's a trap. Don't drink the broth, guys. You're supposed to sip the broth.
Wait, what? Hold on. See, that's my problem. I'm always eating the broth. So wait, what again?
Don't eat all the broth. It's like, it's just filling. You're literally filling your stomach up with fluid, and like, you won't be able to eat all the meat or the noodles.
So it's such a farce to get like an extra large bowl, because you only eat the noodles.
You're paying for the meat and the noodles, really. And the broth
What's key is that you get like a normal size bowl or a small bowl, just get extra noodles and extra sides. You don't get giant.
I did not know this. This is all new to me. So don't eat the don't drink the broth. Just enjoy the noodles and the meat and the vegetables that's in there.
Yeah, and if you want extra noodles, just get a side of noodles.
Yeah, but it's nothing like, you know, being stuck in a room where everybody just having all the sucking and slurping sounds. It's like being at a brothel.
Hot and sweaty, especially in Arizona, because it's
hot. Oh yeah, it's hot and sweaty.
It's hot and sweaty down there, man. Red, did you wanna ask him anything?
No, I lost my train of thought. Sorry.
You're thinking about a brothel still.
That's what just happened to me.
All I kept hearing in my head is like the sucking and slurping sounds of noodles.
So have you traveled outside of Arizona and tried other places, like other pho outside away from Tempe?
Yeah, I've had some other places. I've had places back in Kansas, or that's okay. I've had pho growing up. I could say the pho at this restaurant is better than the pho growing up, and that's from actually eating from an actual Vietnamese family. So that's how, like, that's really good. I've had pho in California, in LA. I forgot, it's like probably some like pho, like play on words restaurant, you know?
Fucking cool or something like that.
No, that's fucking long.
Yeah. And there's a new pho, like instant pho. It's not that good, but it's just, you just buy it because of the name of it. It's called Fuck Up. Fuck Up.
Leave it up to California.
I think it's at you know, like most Kroger places. It's called Pho Cup.
Oh, okay. I think that's
right. I was like, you were like a fuck up.
Can you speak Vietnamese?
No, not anymore. I said come on, and some other saying when I'm eating a restaurant, I'm just slurping it, but that's about it.
Just enough to get the food and just enough like for the bad words and the essentials, yeah. Right?
The essentials, like, you know, like a toilet. Got the, you know, got the toilet.
Well, how do you say? Is it pho duck bit or
is it pho dum bin? I'm not really sure. Like, I don't use it often anymore. You know.
Yeah,
because after COVID, you don't get out. You don't get out at all.
The way of saying stuff is like, but I keep like really putting an American accent to it. I'm not Vietnamese, but at least I try to speak the language just for the food's sake. So, but it's kind of hard to pronounce in Vietnamese.
Yeah, it's like it's very nasally. The it's like dung bao sao, like that.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had friends in like the 90s who were hardcore Vietnamese and it was just
I don't think that
hard to understand them, even when they're talking about cars and racing. So it's like, wow, we grew up.
What did he say?
Well, my dad like speaks like four different languages, right? And like he has a stutter because he's trying to go between different languages. So it's really funny when he's trying to talk to people and he's trying to decipher which languages he's using. It's like, standa, baba, tala, tala. It's like, how are you doing? Like, what are you saying, Dad?
Pick one, for the love of God, pick one.
Pick one. So he speaks French. So
Jeff is asking us right quick here, Chin, if you could do a cover for any title currently, what would it be?
Currently? Without any money involved if I just do it. Because okay, any cover. That's such a good question. I've never really thought about it. I'd probably do a Venom cover or a Carnage. Venom. Yeah, I'd probably do a Venom or a Carnage.
Why not just both? Why not Venom and Carnage put together?
Because it's just monster stuff, right? So
yeah. Venom or Carnage. Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. Hey, what's going on, Drax in the house?
How about Fear Pages? Would you do a whole book or
I would love to do a whole book. Yes. I would love to do a whole book. I did this book called Final Night. It's my Batman book.
Yeah.
I can't call it Batman. I did that. Because I went around the rules of I don't mention the name, I don't use his logo. Everything, and it's called The Final Night Out, and yeah, still find it around. People still have it. I destroyed, I think, 14 copies, 12 copies of it, so there's only like 25 copies in existence right now.
Wow, I remember you were selling the originals on your page.
Yeah, the originals. I still have the originals. I sold one original. Someone bought that, and they bought the book, and I signed it, all of it, and people were like, how'd you get away with that? I was like, I'm not calling it Batman. I'm also not using his name or his, they can't own the cow because I could be, Catman.
It could be anything. I mean, really. I mean, what was that one character in Watchmen? He kind of looked like Batman, but they didn't really allude to him being Batman either.
Night Owl.
Yeah, he had a cowl and everything. Yeah.
Oh, you're doing the Malcolm, like that Wolverine Batman kind of deal.
Yeah, that's Darkclaw. You got some Darkclaw on there.
So did you want some time to work on that sketch or like how did you want to do that right there, Chin?
I can whatever you like, guys. I can draw and talk.
What's he doing? He doesn't want to do. It's just go with the show. Just move on to your rapid fire questions if you want.
Well, rapid fire is gonna be towards the end. We'll give Chin a little bit of time there. So like whatever he can put together, we'll throw it out to the chat. I definitely want
man like sing and dance for you and
okay. Hold on. Let me point it down at the desk and see how we're gonna do this. Camera. There you go. Wait, hold on here.
Make sure you have your pants on.
I don't have any pants.
But we do the show bottomless anyway.
We sure do.
The bottomless show.
We'll throw it out right here. Add this banner right here. Let's go ahead and throw it down on the ticker for everyone. So Chit, did you watch Transformers? I think I asked you this, right? Oh, you can't hear me.
Let's see. I did not watch Transformers yet.
Okay.
But since I work in a comic book shop, I already know all the spoilers already. So.
Well, right. Like you're kind of in the middle of it. You can't escape any spoilers, I guess. Right? It's going to happen to you whether you watch it or not. Yeah.
Correct. So.
What's your?
I can't get butthurt about it. So.
What's your opinion on Transformers altogether? Did Michael Bay ruin your childhood?
No, actually, no. It was a perfect, movie for what it was when we needed it. Can there be better Transformers in the future? Absolutely. Let's see here.
Was it Transformers kind of like your childhood too? Like, was the Bayformers like part of your childhood growing up, or was it like already past it?
It was, when did it come out? Like 2005, 2004?
2007. 2007 was the first
one. I was an adult man in college already. I don't, it wasn't bad. Like at the time, like they look like piles of junk, but but how else would you like, explain transforming into a boxy car or whatever.
Piles of junk. I mean, it's not to say much about the movie, but I get it.
Where did you grow up with, Chin? As far as like what did you watch when you were a kid just to inspire you to draw?
I watched a little bit of everything, but you know, like, well, since I grew up poor, so it's not like I had cable or anything. So it was like I had a static, like a staticky TV. That I had to hold the like the cable like this.
Yeah,
like
the bunny ears. Hold
it like, yeah, not ears. It's like actual like copper cable attached to the back of the TV, and you wind it around like the windowsill. You hopefully get a decent signal.
Oh man! Oh, I know what you're talking about. Like, and it was like one strip, but it had like two cables in the strip.
Yeah, and I'm holding like this, and like I'm staring at the TV and like moving around, and I'm hoping I get a signal for Fox Kids, and we watch Eat the Cat and Power Rangers.
Nice. But most of the time, you probably get Telemundo.
No, not that. Telemundo was. After what I did, so our time was like we had NBC and PBS. This is the only two channels that came in because this is before digital, right? So it was all analog, and it was big giant tubs of TV. Like you had like three people had to carry it. So we may have to make sure the TV was on the second floor, vacant room by a window, and we had to make sure we hold the cord out by the window. To try to get Fox, and if we're lucky, maybe we'll get ABC Kids.
So you did say that earlier, right? That watching TV when you can was something that inspired you to draw. What was your favorite cartoon or TV show that you enjoyed drawing?
I enjoyed drawing. Let's see, if anything I enjoyed when I had money, I tried to go get comic books more than anything that inspired me. I drew a lot of Gen 13, so it's like, what, 93?
Yeah.
A lot of Sonic the Hedgehog. Like, I collected Sonic the Hedgehog Archie run, like, until it ended in, like, in 2002. Like, I collected all that, and that stuff's, like, stupid expensive right now. Because it's, like 6,000 print run, 4,000 print run.
Oh, dude, that's ultra low, yeah.
Yeah, so that stuff's stupid expensive. So I try to keep, like, try to collect that stuff right now still. That's why I drew a lot of that. But any cartoon that inspired me, probably Dark Water was pretty good, and Red Planet was pretty good. Cadillac and Dinosaurs was pretty good. So it was like all that old school stuff.
Man, these are 90s cartoons, and he's like, oh, this is old school stuff. To me, old school is like 70s, like like Batman 66 and
oh, Transformers. Batman Adventures.
Yeah,
Batman Adventures.
Yeah. And that and Denver the Last Dinosaur was also part of that. If whatever you can get on the channels, but how about some anime? Did you try to catch any anime on video or
Anime wise, I try to there we go. Finally got a paper. Sorry about that.
There we go. All
right. All right. Sorry guys. My headphones has finally died on me.
Oh, okay. It's okay.
All right. No, so it's going to be kind of weird.
No, it's okay. Actually, you sound pretty good.
All right. Anime-wise, I actually contacted a lot of like if you're on the back of Wizard, like if you go to Wizard magazine, old Wizard magazines, go all the way in the back, and you can order anime catalogs. I ordered so many anime catalogs, and that's where I try to get anime, and straight to VHS, so like Project Echo, and there's like MD Geist, Guyver. Let's see, Fist of North Star was there. I have so many copies of Akira. I have like 3 copies of Akira right now.
Let me ask you this about Akira. Like, how did you feel when they changed the when they redubbed it?
It's fine. It was fine because they remastered the sound too, so it was fine.
Yeah, okay.
Are you a sub or a dubs kind of watcher?
For old school stuff, I want the dubs because it was just so bad.
The translation.
Because when they try to do the translations,
the translations back in the day, it would not match up. So dubs back in the day were fine, but I prefer current subs.
Yeah, you know what? Current subs is pretty good. It's gotten so much better. Like, My Hero Academia's voice acting is phenomenal. I absolutely love, like, My Hero Academia. So while you're doing this, Chin, do me a favor. Could you talk to us a little bit about Remwake?
Yeah. Remwake is the self-title that I put off for, like, 5 to 6 years. Like, I'll get it done. And then eventually I got COVID. I was stuck in my room for like 10 days. I was like, I should finish this book. So I finished it. It's literally about the introspective, like, ethereal beings of feelings and interconnected of all living things within the whole reality universe, the whole universe and reality itself, and what binds us, like, you know, from, like, animals to plants to humans, what binds us, and these beings within the realm called the cycle are those connections. So the whole book is about one being in particular called Sui, which is Latin for myself. It's called myself, you know, Sui is Latin for myself, whatever. So there's a little deeper dive in there. But he wants to experience the human condition, which is the hardest thing to understand for the, you know, these ethereal beings. Mm-hmm. And the most illogical thing any living or, you know, transdimensional being or whatever can ever understand is love. Love doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense at all. Like, it goes beyond, like, because you'll sacrifice your well-being for another's well-being, even though that, like, you know, just not really, that doesn't make any sense.
Right. Because it's the preservation of self is really the first thing that comes to mind if you want to continue on as a species. But it seems like your character's driven, characters like Data on Star Trek TNG, where he can't experience humor.
Oh yeah,
same. So similar to your character, as I can't experience love.
Yeah, it's something like that, because you know, love and any real deep emotional connection to another, like another being, if you try to explain it, like literally trying to explain it, that makes complete sense. It's almost impossible. Like, yeah, I love my son, like, because I have a son. I love him unconditional. I would do literally anything for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talk to a computer, like, why would you do that? Because I love him. And they have no better reason than that.
Love,
why?
Love,
like, I need to.
Love has no rules, and it is all the rules. Which is,
yeah, it's the most illogical aspect of, you know, higher thinking beings, I guess.
Being as human.
As of the feeling of love or being in love?
Exactly. The yes. Feeling and being in love and love itself, like, if you think about it, I just can't explain it.
Oh.
That's true. You really can't explain love.
Because even being in love could be confused as being in lust.
Exactly. You can say, oh, it's hormones, right? But, like, but hormones don't make me jump in front of a bullet to save someone's life.
Right. Like your vagina.
Hormones don't make me stop eating so my son can eat.
Yeah.
Here we go, Red. What were you gonna say, Red?
Some vaginas are not worth killing yourself over.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Totally not worth it.
You can also say vaginas and dicks. Remember, it's all inclusive nowadays, Red.
Very inclusive, guys. Very inclusive. You gotta be very inclusive.
Vaginas and dicks, Red.
That's right, because you mentioned dicks in the beginning of the show. Now it's the vaginas turn.
Oh, okay. It's a rotation. It's a rotation.
That's because we were expecting Chin to do a sketch of a penis, but then, you know, we're not getting a penis now.
I don't know. Is that Dr. Doom? Because he's kind of a dick himself, isn't he?
I don't know. What, in your opinion, what's the most... the villain that's most likely a dick.
Who's the biggest dick?
Who's the biggest dick?
What are you talking about?
that's a good question. Like, who is the biggest dick? Who's the biggest villain? Who's the What's the one villain that's the biggest dick? Like, who's the asshole? Who's the biggest asshole, I guess?
Big. Oh, what villain is the biggest asshole?
Yeah.
I think there's a book, Thanos, right? I think it's an annual book with Thanos in it. Yeah. And he tortures this guy, right, on his birthday. This is a normal human guy on Earth. And on this guy's birthday, Thanos comes along and ruins that day for him. It's an actual book, actual canon, where Thanos comes around from the day the guy's born to the, like, I think he's like 45 years old, right? On the guy's birthday, something bad always happens because Thanos does it. Like, he kills, like, his best friend on, like, his 10th day, his 10th birthday.
Oh, my God.
That's such a dick move.
Yeah. And he poisons, like, he poisons everybody at, like, his first college party. He poisons everybody at the party because he could. And that's just Thanos, like, just doing whatever he wants to do. So that, I would think Thanos is the biggest, you know, because of that's canon.
Here, I was thinking Lex Luthor being the biggest dick as a villain, but wow, I didn't know Thanos was capable of just doing the smallest shit to the most insignificant person.
I never knew this, and yeah, that would put him up there as the biggest dick.
So yeah, look up that book. I think it's an annual. I think it's an annual though. It's stupid because I think the only day he has a good birthday is the day that the Avengers defeat Thanos and like nothing happens because Thanos dies during that time. And he comes back the year later, but he's like, but he has one good day because the Avengers beat him.
That's funny. That's genuinely funny. Thanos, look at that. Herbs is saying it's Thanos annual number one. And he's extremely happy because he actually has it. Herbs has something that we're talking about. I'm pretty sure he's pretty happy about it. Well,
let's piggyback off of that. Like, if you were to, I guess, reboot that story, how would you come about making Thanos an even bigger dick?
How do you make him worse? Make him worse. Do it to a girl? I don't know. He makes a little girl miss a bus, which makes...
It's a fast drawing. That's just a warm-up drawing. Don't worry about it. That's just a warm-up drawing, guys. Warm-up drawing. All right.
Like, what
this is the real drawing.
Crossing the street?
Wait, what? He makes a little girl miss a bus, which makes it so whatever she, like, cures cancer. Wait, what? Oh, look who decided to join us. Yeah! What's up? Look,
what's up?
How's Mrs. Weeks? She okay?
All good, baby.
Look at that. Look at this.
What's up, Luke?
Look at that, Luke. See? This is the guy right here.
I figure like fans would want like a Venom or something like, you know, very mainstreamy. Yeah, so man. For the fans.
Luke, plug in your mic a bit. Because I can barely hear you.
Check. There. Might just be my voice.
Your mic, you sound far away. So far away.
All right, want to throw that question to Luke?
Oh, wait. Thanos makes a little girl or a little miss girl, a little girl miss a bus, which means she never cures cancer. He messed up the timeline. That's what he did. Before she dies, he visits her, lets her know what she could have been. Wow.
That's a dick move.
Oh, my God. I'm actually wanting to read this book now. So, Luke, what we're talking about is... things happen, all of a sudden we just got into like who's the worst villain, who's the biggest dick, right? And Chin was talking about how Thanos pretty much tortured some kid, killed a kid like on his 10th birthday and stuff like that. It was just made the worst. We just kind of got off on a tangent.
Killed
there.
The kid's friend on his 10th birthday.
So now we're asking, who is the biggest dick? Who's the biggest
dick of a villain?
Villainous dick out there?
That's a good question, man. They're all dicks.
Are they though? I mean,
but the biggest one, I mean, the most recent one, the high evolutionary, like,
oh, that's right.
Torturing animals, like, come on, man. Why you gotta do that? Made a whole world.
And this, I'm gonna have to agree with Luke on that one right there. He's a fucking asshole, that guy.
Dude, seriously, but so awesome with the stretched face. Oh, man. Oh.
It was cool because he was like the first villain in the MCU that was really bad to be bad.
Dude, and I wanted more of him. I'm so bummed it was a one and done because I really feel like he could have been.
Hold on.
I feel like he could have been better than Kang, honestly.
Hold on. James Gunn.
Chin, watch the Last Guardians?
Oh, wait, that's right. Chin, did you watch The Last Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes, I did.
Okay, cool. So we can continue on with this conversation.
People have enough time. We can spoil it because it's been weeks. Okay, they haven't watched it by then. Yeah. It's their fault.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Like, within the first 2 weeks, we have to, like, totally say spoiler. But, yeah, by now, Kane
is boring to me because it's just like, I'm everything. I can be any. It's like, okay. It's like Superman. Like, Superman's boring because he has no faults.
Hold on, you know before I mean? Anything. So for anyone who's out there in the chat right now, throw out the hashtag in the chat, hashtag Chin, like what I have there at the bottom, for your chance to win this sketch that Chin is putting together for you guys. So throw out hashtag Chin, and we'll do the drawing later on. Real fast, Chin, we have Nornrad who's asking, what's your favorite movie? What's your favorite horror movie? Do you have a favorite horror movie?
What's my favorite movie and what's my favorite horror movie?
No, what's your favorite horror movie?
Favorite horror movie? Insidious is pretty good. I like different horror movies for different reasons. Insidious is good because it's just creepy. But for aesthetic reasons, I like The Thing.
Are we going to go...
The Monsters is really good in The Thing, so...
Which one was The Thing?
The new one or the old one?
Oh, I'm thinking Stuff. I'm sorry. Which one was The Thing? Yeah, there was two ones, right? There was two.
The John Carpenter one?
The one in the 80s.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, man. Dude, he's throwing it back. That's a good one. Now I remember that one. What about you, Luke? What's your favorite horror movie? Do you have one?
Dude, I can't watch horror.
What about you,
Red? I cannot watch horror movies. I can't do it. I'll be freaked. I'll have dreams all night. Week. I'll have dreams. I'll have dreams for days.
Hold on, Luke. Hold on. So, Luke, are you telling me that Luke would have nightmares for weeks?
And months and days. A week. No, but seriously.
But
I'll have like actual nightmares for like ongoing time periods, and it like fucks with my head. It fucks with my head so bad. I'm like, nope, I can't. It scares me. I just can't do it.
Sorry. What about you, Red? Do you have a favorite horror movie?
Salem's Lot.
Oh, that's a good one.
Lot is a good one.
Yeah. That's a good one.
That freaked me out. Those little vampire kids floating in the window.
That's a good one.
Give me a good rom-com. You know what I mean? A good Matthew
like, McConaughey. That's horrifying, sir. Ryan Commitment Donald, is horrifying.
You know what I mean? Love is overrated.
You know, a ham and cheese sandwich. That's it, baby. That's what I want. That's how I live my life. And a Sprite.
Ham and cheese sandwich and a Sprite. For me, I'd have to say this is relatively recent, but I felt like the Insidious movies were really good because they helped revamp like a new generation of horror fans. And I really enjoyed that movie. I hated all the offshoots, right? Like,
yeah, that's true. Nun,
right? La Llorona, I think, was one of them. Annabelle, like, they were kind of cash grabbing.
I'm not scared of a doll. I'm sorry. I can't be scared of a doll.
Man, she was kind of creepy looking.
I mean, the doll in the movie is not that scary, but if you just ran up upon a doll and like at a Goodwill, and it all of a sudden shows up at your house,
yeah,
then it's time to be afraid.
I've had weirder things in my house.
Have you really? Well, hold on, you're kind of close to Las Vegas. Did you have any of those Las Vegas aliens visit you recently? Is that...
It's like,
yeah. Did you guys see that? Did you see the video? Like, apparently there's an actual image of one of the aliens in the backyard.
Oh, that's cool.
That's like, oh, okay. That's
like, they're 10 feet tall and they're gray. And
yeah. I'm wondering, like, did
that... I am not a believer, by the way. I don't think the government's real.
This is some real. This is some real Department of Truth shit going on right now. Like, if you think about it, like Department of Truth and this is kind of like going hand in hand right now, because we have aliens that have landed in Vegas. So the question is, why did they land in Vegas? Like, what's so special about Vegas?
No, here's so bright. Fucking why it's here's fucking why it's bullshit, man. Because this fucking alien landing corresponded almost exactly with that whistleblower. Almost to the day, like, yeah. Okay, you know where, what I mean?
Where they're saying that the U.S. government has 12 spaceships, like, in a bunker?
Yeah, the whistleblower comes out, and he's like, they're hiding it from us, and then, like, the next day, an alien lands. Like,
I believe it. I totally believe it. I'm honestly, I think in our lifetime, they're going to be like, hey, motherfuckers, we're here.
Well, all of a sudden, the aliens have a Vietnamese accent.
No, no, Red, no, stop, don't you even try, please.
I'm just saying that's what it sounds like.
You guys can do it, I can't do it.
don't
appropriating.
You guys can do the accent.
Luke's like, nope, I'm not doing this. I'm not
Vietnamese have seriously the most hilarious accent. It's so awesome.
You're talking to him right now. He's drawing.
It's like very staccato. You know what I mean? It's like a sung language. Like
there's a cadence to it.
Thank you. There's
a cadence to Vietnamese.
No, one of my best friends is Vietnamese growing up. He had this like, and he was a fob. Like he was like the fresh off.
See? Fresh off a boat.
Fresh off the boat. Well, I'm an 80s kid, so we had all the fobs coming over.
Fobs also, I didn't know that, you know, fob was a pretty big term back in the day too for us, but I didn't know he went that far up to Oregon. And
white man refers to Vietnamese as fobs on local podcasts. Dory, he's with us. He's one of ours. Don't worry about it. We'll claim him.
He's okay. He's
a Caucasian Asian. He hangs out with us.
No, but then this is the messed up part, man. And then one day his family moved. Never saw him again because it's pre-internet, man. You know what I mean? I'm like, can I get like? He's like, I don't know, my fit. Like, there's no.
Don't tell me his last name is Nguyen or Tran, and that way you can't search for him on Facebook.
I'm using a crayon. Look, I'm using a crayon, guys.
That's super dope. That's a great Venom right there, man.
Dude, are you kidding me? Cover worthy right there, baby.
That is pretty dope, Chin.
And when are you guys on the chat going to win that sketch?
So. Yeah, remember, hashtag Chin. Just throw hashtag Chin out in the chat. Man, I don't think I'm going to do this. Well, I want to enter this.
No!
I'm going to enter. Hold on. I'm gonna go under my other fake account.
Family and friends and employees of the podcast are not eligible.
Wait a minute.
All right, hold on.
What did Herb say?
Let me bring it up.
Nguyen were always crazy finds in yearbooks.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go, guys.
Look at that.
That is so fucking sick.
That is so sick.
10 out of 10.
I love how
big crayons, like I had the giant crayons I have here.
I love, oh dude, it really was crayons. Let me see. Look, let's show off like your what you used, because everyone needs to see
that. Well, I'll just show it off to you. We'll figure it out. So I'll show it off to you.
I love it.
Now, can you kiss it and leave your DNA on it?
We're gonna clone Chin right there.
We like to clone you for in the future.
No, we'll do a comment randomizer later, and we'll send it out.
No, well, what? I'm also be nice. I'll throw this in there as well. You can have that.
I love it. Don't forget hashtag Chin for your chance to win the art book as well as that Venom sketch, you guys, that he did live.
Dude, what is this? Is that a little self-portrait?
What? That is sick. What is this?
Show him the can you show the inside of the book
with
the
body
mask for Luke? Since he, I don't think he ever saw it.
Oh, that's
there you go. You guys can do whatever you like with that. So I'll ship this off to you guys. You guys can give it to a fan.
Yeah, one or two winners. Maybe one wins the art book.
Can you open the book? Can you show Luke the bunny mask sketch that you included in there?
What's that? Oh.
Can you open the book and show Luke the bunny mask sketch that you included
in there? I got a lot of stuff in here. Let's see.
Luke! Come back, Luke! You gotta see this!
Luke! Hurry! Hurry! You're gonna miss it! Hurry,
Luke!
Summer, hold on. I'll be right back. I'm coming.
What are you doing? That this is your moment.
Go get it. Look at it.
I'm not coming. I'm coming back.
Look, Herbs and Nornrad are the only two that went ahead and listened and actually threw out the hashtag.
That's awesome. Catches
in this book.
Hell yeah. Cheers on that.
Thank you.
I wish it was a Bud Light. I could cheers you with a Bud Light.
Oh, look. That's the other one. Yeah. That's the actual cover. That's
so if you get the book, you can look at this. Like, oh, there's inks and there's.
That's awesome.
And those are available at your booth at any show, right?
So,
yeah,
there's a bunch of stuff in here. You know,
how can people buy? Buy the art book as well as the.
If they hit me up directly, they can go to my website sinpotter.com, or they can hit me up on Instagram at sinpotter and
you work at me, working on a comic shop?
What's that?
Are you still working at a comic shop in Arizona?
Yeah.
What's the name of the shop? Are you?
Collector's Choice Comics and Justice Comics, one location down in Tempe.
Dude, you live in Tempe? That's so. Man, I love
that. I don't live in Tempe, but I work in Tempe.
Oh, you work in Tempe? No one can afford to live in Tempe.
You can't live in Tempe. Like, it's like a $400,000 house. No.
What? So, where do you live?
$400,000. I live like an hour away.
This is down the street.
Like where? Apache Junction or where?
You live in like Queen Creek, Santan Valley.
Mm.
Down the street from Jeff.
One stoplight.
McHale.
What's that?
Is that the small place?
It's getting bigger. It's getting bigger. It's south from the main part of the valley.
Okay. Now, does your family have roots in Arizona, or what is your?
I don't have any roots in Arizona. Like, I came here to take care of my son, be here with my son, and that's it.
Really? So where's the rest of the Potter clan then?
The Potter's in Kansas. Everybody's in Kansas.
Dude, are you loving Arizona then? Because I mean.
Loving Arizona, it's a love-hate relationship.
It is.
All right, I got to change the camera here. One moment.
God dang, it is such a love-hate because Rachel and I, we moved down there in 2013 and we're there for 5 years. Right. But we were up by Flagstaff.
What's up, guys?
What's up, sexy? Man, looking good. Bro, have you lost weight? You're looking good.
No, it's just the haircut, you know? I try to get as tall as possible, so it makes my head look real skinny.
So you and your son, how old's your son? Is he in Queen Creek with you? Is he living with you?
Yeah, he lives here with me. He's 12.
That is sick. So my boy is graduating 8th grade on Friday.
Oof. Does it make you feel old? Like, you know, they're getting older and they get bigger than you. Like, you need to stop it.
I know. It makes me feel like an old man. It really does. And then I look in the mirror and I realize I'm a fucking old man.
You look at the gray hairs, like, stop growing.
Like, oh yeah, but old man.
Well, E-Man has a kid in college already.
I got three. I got a 29, a 20, and a 13-year-old, you guys. Yeah. And hold on. Then I have Mimi. So we have 13, 12, and 10.
Sir, you need to relax. You need to calm yourself. Take a breather.
Don't worry. It's funny because I've fixed myself. However, I have two other kids even afterwards. As well. My girlfriend's kids, too. You know?
Oh, I thought you meant you had some jumpers.
No. No jumpers here. It's cheap blinks.
Right in time.
All blinks are here. All right, I'm going to run this because I gave everyone the chance already. There's two people in the chat, so we're going to do this.
Actually, four now. There's four watching.
Four watching? Look, that's if they throw up the hashtag, we look. Just enter the hashtag in the chat for your chance to win the Venom sketch and or the Chin Potter sketchbook as well. Look at that.
And you got a little remark on the back.
Oh, yeah, the remark with his signature on the back. I love it.
Self-portrait.
So, Chin, let me get into something a little more serious here, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, this is a good topic to bring up here. Now, you've mentioned elsewhere, you know, that you're a big advocate for mental health. Of course, you know, you've gone through your own struggles in life. You know, you've seen the peaks, you've seen the valleys. Now, what do you tell someone who's going through the struggles and how can art help someone with them to enhance their mental health?
I don't think it's really just art. I think something to find passion in, it will actually, you know, get you out of your own head, because drowning in your own head is your worst enemy. And especially talking about it with someone, anyone, it will, you know, it'll help out a lot. So, because if you isolate yourself, is the worst thing you can possibly do. Isolate yourself and not do anything, drowning your own sorrow and pity is like the worst thing for you. If you can at least discuss it with somebody, find something that gets you out of your normal routine in a positive way, that's the best advice I can probably give someone. I know a friend that, you know, he's just working out, because if he needs to, like, you know, release some stress, he goes for walks, just does that, and he started working out, and that's what he does when when he feels like an urge of, like, I guess depression or something. What I do, I just draw, I write, I try to spend more time with my friends when I have time. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, being a professional, with anything, you know, you gotta try to find time, but yeah, just finding time to, get out of your own head and get out of your own way.
Is there a specific person that someone should reach out to? Like, 'cause it's hard for someone to reach out to mom and dad. Like,
yeah, what do you tell? It can just be anybody, literally anybody. That's the advice I was given. Like, if you can talk to anybody, it can be a complete stranger. Complete stranger, as long as you can get it off your chest, right? Because if you hear the words come out of your own mouth towards somebody, it's like a weight of the world off you. It's freedom. At best, then you can discuss it with, you know, actual professional, like therapist or counselor or somebody. But just get it off your chest to anyone. Like, I know a guy that just spoke to, who's like an Uber driver, and because you're not going to talk to him again, you just need to talk to somebody. All right, mm-hmm. And at least the person's there. He can't go anywhere. He has to listen to you. So.
You're stuck in this car with me for the next 23 minutes, 45
exactly.
If there's traffic.
Exactly.
So
as long as you can discuss it and you're just talking about it, you know, that's all that matters.
Because like you said, it's you hearing it for yourself.
Yeah. I get that. You know, I've been stuck in like the deep end, like by myself, self-loathing in the worst places and the worst spots for a really long time. And it just dramatically and exponentially gets worse and worse and worse, and you just think it's no end to it. Then eventually, you know, you try something different, like, mm-hmm. you know, discussing it, it can change night and day.
Gotcha. All right, we're gonna wait just for another minute or so to see if we get any more entries into this. We have four entries. We got four people actually watching us tonight. I absolutely love that right there. Chin, before letting you go,
John Romita just died.
Why are you telling me this now? Shut up. Senior?
Senior.
No way.
That is so sad. And
look at that. Look. Now I got it. 93. That,
oh, come on. Man.
We're interviewing Chin here, but still.
Well, that's artist to artist, I mean, gotta bring it up.
Yeah, it's crazy. He's supposed to do like an actual meeting with his son like last year, and they were having health problems, and that's why they kept on canceling. Oh, man. That's why they canceled this year here in Arizona. So I, you know, kind of felt like something was coming, you know.
Yeah, John Romita tweeted, "I say this with a very heavy heart. My father passed away peacefully in his sleep. He's a legend in the art world, and it would be my honor to follow in his footsteps. Please keep your thoughts and condolences here out of respect for my family. He was the greatest man I ever met." John Romita Jr. saying that. Oh my God, how heartbreaking. Rest in peace to the living legend.
Man, we are losing. It seems like every year it's just.
Damn, that's a big one. That is a big one.
Stan Lee.
That was a couple years
Neil.
Back. Neil, we lost Neil this year.
Perez, yeah.
Oh, dude, we're losing legends left and right. Damn.
Well, let's just.
Well, rest in peace. Guys. Let me lighten the mood up a little bit. Let me lighten the mood up a little bit. You know, it's
have a shot. So, have a drink.
I know. Hold on. Let's have a drink real fast. You know.
For JR.
Not Junior, for JR.
I don't have any.
It's all right. There you go. Pretend. Mine's empty, so don't worry about it.
How about smoke? Smoke for JR.
Smoke him if you got him. Rest in peace, Senior. Chin, I got some rapid fire questions for you I want to ask before letting you go. So these are a series of questions, you know, meant to have fun, meant to get to know you a little bit better. Silly, it doesn't have anything to do with art, but we definitely want to get to know the inner child, the inner man.
Potter. If it's still there, okay.
I know it's there. Hold on, put yourself in that place right there, okay? Put yourself in that place because
I got it.
There you go. Perfect. All right. Rapid fire questions. Here we go. Number one, what is your favorite cereal?
Cookie Crisp.
Who's your favorite superhero?
Favorite superhero? Something.
When you put on your pants, right or left leg first?
Both, I think, at the same time.
What is your favorite month?
December, because it's my birthday.
Favorite food to get the creative juices flowing?
It's cheese sauce with Doritos.
Egg noodle or rice noodle?
Rice noodles.
What is the first thing that you order at a bar?
I don't drink, so it'll probably be a Diet Coke.
Who's your favorite Disney character?
I don't have one.
What's your favorite song to rap or sing to in the shower?
Ooh, God. Guilty pleasure, probably Imagine Dragons, Thunder, even though it's a horrible song.
I can sing it.
Final question.
Anybody can sing it. Anybody can sing it.
And final question, listen to this one right here. Can you name 5 U.S. presidents without Google?
Jefferson, Washington, Lincoln, Eisenhower, and Obama?
There are 5. That's 5.
Hell yeah.
So 5. The question was, can you name 5 presidents without Google? That answer should have been either yes or no. But it's okay. We're going to let you pass on that one right there. I'm glad that you know your history without Googling right there. Everyone, thank you so much. This is Chin Potter right here. Hold on, wait.
Well, we're still have a giveaway. Yeah, and then I was hoping that Chin would say that he would put in his third leg first in the pants before fourth leg.
Yeah, at what point does the third leg come in, right?
It is rough sometimes.
All right, we got 4 entries right here. How do you guys want to do it? Are we going to do, should we do 2 spins for 2 prizes for 2 people, or just 1 spin and 1 lucky person out of the 4?
Yeah, 1 spin, make it easy.
1 spin. All right, Luke spoke. 1 spin, 1 person gets this. Let's go ahead and draw this. Good luck to everyone that entered. Hold on, any stragglers? Negative. We're drawing. All right.
Ashton where you need a comma after on, because I don't want to come on Chin.
Herbs. Congratulations, Herbs. You are the winner of a sketchbook and A sketch. Congratulations, from Mr.
Congratulations.
Good work. I think it's rigged because that's your cousin.
It's not rigged. I don't know. That looks like Rambo right there, and then you saw firsthand.
That's pressed Maggie the right there.
I don't know.
Grandma, is that you, Grandma?
Look, it's Rambo. Box. You can totally tell it's Rambo. I don't know what you're talking about right there. Herbs, hit me up on Instagram. Send me your information.
I want a DNA test.
Send me your information so we can get that sent out to you. Once again, Chin, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I really, really appreciate it. We had a good time. Let everyone know how they can find you on the social medias.
Thank you again, guys. I do appreciate it. You know, I get to talk to a lot of people anymore. But yeah, you can contact me on my Instagram. It's Sin Potter, SinPotter, like the wizard, Sin Potter. Or at the website, where you can see my artwork and contact me directly for commissions. It's sinpotter.com. Or come to the actual physical location of the shop where I work. It's Clutch Choice Comics and Justice Comics down in Tempe, Arizona. You can come by, hang out with me, talk shop, even might get a doodle out of me. I don't know. Depends how, you know.
Depends on how I feel. Any convention appearances this year?
Any conventions or appearances this year, Chin?
Oh, conventions. I just got done with Fan Fusion. I have nothing in the works as of yet, but you know, sometimes I'm invited out of nowhere. So.
And then any current or future projects you can talk about?
Yes, I'm currently working on my Remwick issue 2. And that should be done by the end of summer, I'm hoping. So that will be out, and I'm also trying to get some artists to work on some variant covers for that, and there will be a slight bundle available once that is ready for pickup, I think in August.
I love it.
Nice. Like it. I love it. All right. Well, that's it for tonight's show. Thanks to everyone in the chat for showing up. Once again, thanks to our guest, Chin Potter, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Peace.
See ya. Thanks again for listening to another episode of the Seedless Villains Podcast, your cultivators of the comic culture. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and email us at seedlessvillains@gmail.com. You can also leave us a voicemail or text us at 209-975-7597. Be sure to join Luke Week's Facebook group, Rare Keys and First Appearance Comics. And you can follow us on our two Instagram accounts, Seedless Villains and Seedless Villains Podcast. Lastly, follow the villains on their separate IG accounts, at Luke Weeks, at C-List Villainous Red, at C-List E-Man, and I am at AJ the Comic Collector. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you all next episode.